We're very pleased to have Emily, Ralph's servant, here today to bring the message, and we also welcome her mother, Anna, here as well. Emily serves as our conference leadership minister. She relates to our congregation with support to our pastors, as well as providing leadership to our search committee. She and her husband, Ryan, parent two daughters. We just ask that God's blessing will be on her as she shares God's word with us.
So I invite you for just a moment to think about the person that you know best in the whole world. So maybe this is your child or a parent, your significant other or a sibling or your best friend. Just think about that person for a minute. So this is the person who you know what they're gonna order when you go out for breakfast together. Or it's the person who you know what joke they're gonna tell every time they hear the word Albuquerque. Or you know which viral video is gonna make them cry, or which news story is gonna make them yell at the TV. Like, you know this person really well. Now think about a time when that person did something that surprised you. And this is not because it's totally out of character for them, but just you didn't think they were gonna respond to something in that way. Or maybe it did feel out of character for them until you look back and realize that the signs were there all along, right? You just hadn't noticed them. You thought you knew everything about that person, and then you realize that they were still a mystery to you. And I think for some of you, this is the definition of marriage, right? Right? Yes. The more you get to know your spouse, the more you realize you really don't know your spouse. And there's something to love about that. It shows that there's someone who is different from you. Someone who you can enjoy learning to know again and again and again. There's a Catholic theologian named Catherine Maurer Lacuna, and she describes how traditionally theologians have claimed that God is a mystery to us. They say this is because God is so entirely other than us, so beyond us and so much greater than us, that we can't even comprehend God. But Lacuna argues this is not entirely the case. She says, yes, God is a mystery, but it's not because God is so far away, so unreachable, but it's because God is so close. She says the reason that God is a mystery is because God is someone who can be known and therefore can only be known in part, like your favorite person in the world. God remains a mystery to us just like our spouses and friends and kids and parents and best friends are a mystery to us. We can't get inside of their heads, so we can only know them as far as they choose to share of themselves with us through what they say or things that they do. So it shouldn't surprise us if sometimes we look at God and we say, where did that come from? Peter has one of those moments in today's story. Everything he thought he knew about God and what God was doing and what God wanted was just thrown into turmoil. His understanding was that God had set apart a specific group of people who were going to be God's family, God's chosen ones, who would show the world what it looked like to live in friendship with God and according to God's desires and plan for the world. So this is what God had been about for centuries, for millennia, right? He could look back on the history and he could see this. Back when God had chosen Noah and Noah's family to survive a worldwide catastrophe and to repopulate the earth. And then after that, God chose Abraham to be special in a committed relationship with God. And then God rescued Abraham's descendants from slavery in Egypt. And God helped them to win victory in many battles against people who were not their tribe or their people group, to the point where they actually conquered a whole countryside full of people who were not them. And God made an agreement with these people, the Israelites, that they would obey God's law, and then God would choose them forever as God's people. And for better or for worse, the people of Israel spent hundreds of years trying to find God's mark and missing. Apologizing, receiving forgiveness, and throughout this whole time, God's messengers that we call prophets continued to remind them, that they were chosen by God and they were supposed to be different than the people around them. This was the story that Peter had heard so often. God had chosen a special people, his people, and they were set apart to be loved and cared for by God. And then when God's son Jesus came to earth, he came to the people of Israel. This was confirmation that God had a special purpose for Israel, a special plan, a special desire to draw them close to God, to help them succeed, to make them great. And Jesus spent years caring for the people of Israel. And when Israel's leadership rejected him and they sent him to death, he forgave them. And he rose from the dead to make it possible for Israel to be saved once again. God belonged to Israel. No one else. Anyone who wasn't an Israelite was a Gentile. And Gentiles were unclean. They were to be kept at arm's length. But then, one day, Peter was praying on the roof of a friend's house when he had a vision. And in that vision, he heard a voice saying to him, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." And this happened three times, so this is something important, right? But he was bewildered. What in the world could this mean? And just as that vision was disappearing and he was coming back to reality, some strangers came knocking on the door. Now, these strangers were messengers from a Roman centurion named Cornelius, a Gentile. He had seen a vision too, and he had responded to his vision by sending for Peter. So these guys arrive while Peter is, to use the words of the Common English Bible, brooding over the meaning of the vision. And Peter hears God's Spirit say to him, "Go downstairs, don't ask questions, just go with them. I sent them." What? So it's getting interesting now, right? The next morning, Peter goes with them to Cornelius' house. And when he gets there, they compare notes about their visions. And suddenly, all the pieces start fitting into place. And that's where the passage that was read for us this morning starts up. Peter cries out, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is the message of peace that he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all? Where did that come from? Peter thought that he knew God so well, that he had a handle on what God wanted, but suddenly God did something unexpected. And yet the signs had been there all along. Yes, God rescued Noah from his family, but he made a promise to bless all of creation. And yes, God chose Abraham and his family, but God said that God wanted to bless them in order for them to be a blessing to all the nations. And yes, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt, but God also extended mercy to Egyptians who believed and joined them in their escape. And yes, God led God's people into the promised land, but God also included the pagans of the land in the royal lineage, and some of them became ancestors of Jesus. And Jesus himself loved and healed and learned from Gentiles. It turns out that this is who God had been all along, and Peter just hadn't seen it. God is a mystery who keeps on surprising us. And yet, even as Peter is having this breakthrough moment, it cracks me up how he continues to emphasize that he is part of the in crowd. We are witnesses of everything he did, he says. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand. We ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that Jesus is the one whom God appointed. He wants this to be very clear. He was part of this elite group of followers who had seen and heard and lived with Jesus himself. And Peter was given this job to share the good news with others. So there were first-class Jesus followers, and there were second-class Jesus followers. Okay, we're good. This is starting to make more sense again, right? And then something crazy happened. But to understand why this is so crazy, we have to take a step back. See, when Jesus first started to travel around teaching and healing, he had an experience. Jesus chose to be baptized. That is, to be covered with water as a symbol that he had decided to live his life God's way. And as he was praying there, God's Spirit came down and landed on him. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." And it was clear to everyone who saw this that Jesus was chosen by God. So then fast forward a few years. Jesus had died and he had risen back to life again. And before he went back to heaven, he promised that he was going to send a companion for his followers. And this companion would help them and would guide them. And one morning, as they were praying together, all these Jesus followers, God's Spirit came down and landed on them. And later, Jesus' followers would call this the baptism of the Spirit. So you can see this parallel here. You could almost hear the voice from heaven saying, "You are my children, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." And all the people who were gathered in the city that day, who saw what was happening, knew that these Israelites were chosen by God. And now, as Peter was sharing the story of Jesus with these Gentiles, people who were longing to know God and to live life God's way, God's Spirit came down and landed on them. As Peter stared at them, dumbfounded, it was like a voice from heaven said, "These are my children, whom I dearly love. In them I find happiness." I imagine that Peter's voice was barely louder than a whisper when he said, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water. Can they? As folks who've been in the church for a long time, it's easy for many of us to resonate with Peter's predicament. We are the chosen people who are challenged to invite in the stranger. We are challenged to welcome the other. We are challenged to see God working in unexpected places. Yes, that's true. But I think if we think about it this way, we're coming at it from an upside-down perspective. Because we weren't the witnesses. We didn't see Jesus' death and resurrection. We didn't eat and drink with him. We aren't Israelites. We are these people. We are the Gentiles who received the preaching, who heard the message. As Pastor Andrew Draper has said, we eat at another people's table and we worship another people's God. We aren't the center of this story. We are outsiders invited into the family. Brothers and sisters, here is a wonderful mystery. You and I are the stranger. We are the other. We are God's surprise. Oh, how great are the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How impossible it is for us to understand God's decisions and God's ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give God advice? Who has given God so much that God needs to pay it back? For everything comes from God and exists by God's power and is intended for God's purposes. All praise to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen.